RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Minister Retna calls for a ceasefire in southern Philippines. Government must optimize the role of assessment and application of technology, BPPT. Now the news in detail. Minister Foreign Affairs Retna Marsudi urged her counterpart for the Philippines, Perfecto Yasay, to carry out ceasefire in the Philippines military operation towards the armed group that hold hostages of Indonesian citizens. This was stated by the Protection Director of Indonesian Citizen Legal Entity at Indonesian Foreign Ministry, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, in Jakarta on Wednesday. The Philippines military operations are conducted on August 13, 2016, in the southern Philippines, including Jolo Island, which was allegedly reported as the place where Indonesian citizens are being held hostage. Muhammad Iqbal also remarked that Indonesian government has been informed that the ceasefire will be carried out on August 15, 2016. For Indonesian government, the safety of its citizens is the most important thing. The ministry has also already received a confirmation from the Philippines government that one of Indonesian citizens, the crew of tugboat Charles Swift, Muhammad Sopian, successfully escaped from the armed group, which has held hostage 7 of Indonesian citizens since June 20, 2016. Member of Commission 7 of the House of Representatives, DPR, Mukhtar Tompo, asks for assessment and application of technology, BPPT, to optimally play its major role because Indonesia needs technological innovation to compete with other countries. In his press release issued in Jakarta on Wednesday, Mukhtar Tompo assessed that BPPT is a laboratory of ideas for the government to design policies in technological sector. He views that in the 38th anniversary of the BPPT, coinciding with the 71st anniversary of the Republic of Indonesia, it is timely for the BPPT assistant to be appreciated as a laboratory of ideas by anyone, including the government. 9 Indonesian migrant workers in Johor Bahru were chosen as members of flag hoisting troops in the ceremony of the 71st Indonesian Independence Day in the Indonesian Consulate General Johor Bahru, Malaysia on August 17, 2016. The Indonesian Consul General to Johor Bahru, Taufikur Rizal, stated that the 9 workers work in the manufacturer sector in Johor Bahru region and they also study in the Open University of Johor Bahru.
Ya, jadi tahun ini seluruh peserta Paskibra di KJRI Johor Bahru.
So this year, all the Paskibra officer in the Indonesian Consulate General of Johor Bahru consist of Indonesian migrant workers who work in Johor and surroundings. All of them are students at the Open University in Johor. It shows that anyone can be flag raisers in the commemoration of Indonesian Independence Day, no matter what is the status, student or worker.
Memperingati Hari Kemerdekaan Republik Indonesia. Ya, tidak beda status apakah dia mahasiswa, siswa ataupun pekerja.
Meanwhile, the 71st Indonesian Anniversary Ceremony in Johor Bahru took place smoothly and was attended by Indonesian people consisting of Open University students, Indonesian Student Union of Technology, University of Malaysia, lecturers, representatives of social organizations, expatriates, as well as Indonesian migrant workers. Indonesia and Russia are two countries that have long established relationship of cooperation. So far, the bilateral cooperation of both countries has been focused on defense and military sector. But there is still a lot of cooperation in other sectors that need to be further pursued. This was expressed by Henry Subiakto, an expert of Ministry of Communication and Informatics, on the sidelines of the implementation of Indonesian update in Moscow, Russia on August 17, 2016. Henry added that one of the sectors that have huge potential is tourism, where the number of Russian tourists who visit overseas is quite many. Besides, Southeast Asian region has been one of the favorite tourism destinations of Russian tourists. One of Indonesian government posts to develop the potential is by holding implementation of Indonesian update that is aimed at promoting Indonesia to citizens in Russia through second threat diplomacy with sources of journalists and public figures. Indonesian delegation faced a visit to Moscow, Russia for 5 days. Russia, as part of a second threat of diplomacy to increase and strengthen cooperation in communication informatics media field. Director of International Information Services at the Minister of Communication and Informatics, Salamata Sembirin, said in Moscow, Russia on Wednesday that this visit was reciprocal one conducted by Indonesian delegation over the visit of Deputy Minister of Communication and Mass Media of Russia following to Jakarta last year. Salamata also remarked that during the visit, the Indonesian delegation led by the expert of Media and Social Culture Service at the Minister of Communication and Informatics, Dr. Henry Subiakto, met Wiolotin, Indonesian Ambassador for Russia, Wahid Supriyadi, and Sun Media Managers. In the meeting, both sides expressed the latest development in their respective countries in the political, economic, social, cultural, and media aspects. The last item, so far most Indonesian people have perceived Russia as a closed communist state and a stated or undeveloped country. In fact, Russia has been growing rapidly into one of the most democratic countries and it has strong influence on various sectors of the world. The misperception of the people could indirectly hamper the cooperation relation for both states, which is very potential in many sectors. Therefore, in several aspects, mass media play a major role in changing the people's own perception through the information dissemination based on the latest facts of Russia to the Indonesian people. This was affirmed by Henry Subiakto, an expert of Minister of Communications and Informatics, on the sidelines of the implementation of Indonesian update in Moscow, Russia on August 17. Therefore, Indonesian government cooperates with Russian government to organize the implementation of Indonesian update in Moscow, Russia on 14 until 15 of August 2016. Hopefully, beside the changing perception of Indonesian people, Russian people will be more familiar with Indonesia through this activity. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled "To Develop Tourism Potential at Border Region." Indonesian border region is a tourist destination that is considered very potential to be developed. Remembering Indonesia has 92 outer islands bordering with 10 neighboring countries such as Malaysia, Singapore, the Philippines, Thailand, Vietnam, India, Australia, Papua New Guinea, PNG, and Timor-Leste. All of these neighboring countries can be pushed to become a tourist spot, so the pace of rural economy in the regions may increase sooner. The government of Indonesia through the Ministry of Tourism is to seriously build potential of tourism in the border regions. To implement this, the government is about to create a program called Cross-Border Tourism in the regions, where these regions are an entry point for foreign tourists, especially from neighboring countries. The border areas have a lot of attractiveness such as natural beauty and local culture, which can be magnetic for both domestic and foreign tourists. Deputy of Foreign Marketing Development at the Minister of Tourism, Igede Pitana, said that the advantage to be gained from the activities of the cross-border tourism is that there must be emergence of a strong emotional connection between the local communities and the tourists. There is still the same cultural route between the tourists from neighboring countries and the local communities. Take for example, the town of Atanbua is possible to attract tourists from Timor-Leste to Indonesia overland. Another way to be carried out by the government, and it is very significant to attract tourists from neighboring countries, is by organizing various festivals in these border areas. There are 50 four festivals that had been designed by the Minister of Tourism. One of them is the cross-border festival in Atambua, to be held in each May to December. The event is enlivened with music concert, bazaar, horse race, and motocross race. The Minister of Tourism establishes cooperation with the Embassy of Indonesia in East Timor and the East Timorese Ministry of Tourism to implement the cross-border festival in Atambua. In Jayapura, Papua, the Sand Festival takes place every June until November 2016. The event is also enlivened with performances of music concerts, food festival, and bazaar. It is expected that the number of foreign tourists from PNG to visit Jayapura can reach 4,500 people during the festival. With the cross-border festival in Jayapura, it is expected that the economy of the local community can improve because many tourists of PNG spend their money in Indonesia. The border areas such as Batam, Tanjung Karang, Dumai, and Antikon are already more advanced than others, but the government still needs to beautify and improve infrastructure in the border areas. The government supports to introduce cross-border tourism in a bid to build and enhance the tourism potential in the border areas need to be fully supported by the related parties, because the border areas are the foremost lines and a reflection of Indonesia. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again in our program today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start on August 18, 1940, when Kamalul Mulk passed away. Muhammad Ghafari was known as Kamalul Mulk, an Iranian leading painter. He studied in art school Darul Funun in Tehran and reached a big success in art painting field. Kamalul Mulk worked for Said Nasiruddin Qajar and produced approximately 170 paintings, which are very beautiful and valuable. Then, increasing his knowledge in art painting, Kamalul Mulk traveled to Europe. On his return from Europe, he touched painting to Iranian artists. His famous works are Adan Karbala, Pemburu, Taman, and Kolam. After Reza Khan reached his powers, Kamalul Mulk was put in exile to Nishapur for refusing to paint Reza Shah and his son. Kamalul Mulk lived and passed away in Nishapur. We turn to event on August 18, 1945, when the Constitution of the Republic of Indonesia was ratified. After Indonesia achieved its independence on August 17, 1945, the need for a formal constitution in the country was amassed. On August 18, 1945, a day after the proclamation of independence, the Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence ratified the Constitution of the Republic of Indonesia and by acclamation to elect and appoint Soekarno-Hatta as the first president and vice president of the Republic of Indonesia. After reform era in 1998, the Constitution 1945 of Indonesia has undergone four amendments. We end the program today in history. We defend that occurred on August 18, 2005, a massive power outage occurred in Japa, Bali. Japa, Bali power outage on August 18, 2005 brought about effect to the nearly 100 million people and became one of the biggest events in the history of power outages in Indonesia. It happened because of transmission network extra high voltage airline 500 kV Japa, Bali. Customers in Jakarta and Banten experienced the most severe outages from 1 until 12 hours. Customers of State Electricity Company PLN in West Java, Central Java, East Java and Bali underwent blackout for 0.5 to 1.5 hours. The impact was that more than 40 electric rail train travel routes for Jakarta, Bogor, Tangerang, Bekasi were cancelled. About 20 electric trains which were operating were trapped in some crossings. Meanwhile, Soekarno-Hatta Airport power outage lasted about 4 hours and caused many flights delayed. Listener, that was Today in History from Air Reward Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Focus program. The theme of today's focus is National Food Beverage Industry to Strongly Compete in ASEAN Economic Community. Food and beverage industry of Indonesia is considered the strongest industry to face PRIMAC, especially in ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. Director General of Agro Industry at the Industry Ministry, Pangga Susanto, said in Jakarta on Friday that the food and beverage industry is a sector that continues to grow and contribute to the national economy. He believes that the sector is strong and able to compete in ASEAN market. He added that the priority sector is highly competitive because it is supported by sufficient resources such as agriculture, marine, livestock, crops, and forestry. The Minister of Industry noted the food and beverage industry is a strategic sector and plays an important role for the growth of non-oil industries. This is evidenced by the positive growth rate of 8.20% in second quarter of 2016. Pangga Susanto said the increase of the food and beverage industry in the country will also be supported through the availability of supply of raw materials and energy. Therefore, the Minister of Industry is trying to make redefaults in order the industry of food and beverage is proposed to further reduce the price of gas. This is a key success to maintain growth and competitiveness. He said that some strategic policies are by increasing product standard through the implementation of the Indonesia National Standard SNI, improving the quality of human resources through the application of national competence Indonesia, and accelerating infrastructure development. In addition, some other policies are the implementation of research and development activities, increased use of domestic products, the alignment of national and regional policies, as well as simplifying the bureaucracy of licensing and investment. Pangga is optimistic that if these policies can be implemented properly, the food and beverage industry will win the competition in the market of ASEAN Economic Community. Thus, a strong commitment is needed for all stakeholders to support the strategic moves. He said that on April 11 until 13 of August 2016, the Minister of Industry facilitated promotional activities to Hong Kong in the exhibition Hong Kong Trade Development Council Food Expo 2016. The aim was to show the advantages of products produced by Indonesian food and beverage industry in the international market. In the event, Indonesian Pavilion was followed by as many as 22 food and beverage companies with an area of 144 square meters. Super products shown were like coffee, tea, soft drinks, herbal drinks, chocolate, coconut processing, instant seasoning snacks, instant noodle, processed seaweed and seafood. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi urged her counterpart from the Philippines, Perfecto Yasay, to carry out ceasefire in the Philippines military operation towards the armed groups that hold hostages of Indonesian citizens. Member of the Commission 7 of the House of Representatives DPR Mukhtar Tompo asked for assessment and application of technology BPPT to optimally play its major role because Indonesia needs technological innovation to compete with other countries. 9 Indonesian migrant workers in Johor Bahru were chosen as members of flag hoisting troops in the ceremony of the 71st Indonesian Independence Day in the Indonesian Consulate General Johor Bahru, Malaysia, on August 17, 2016. The Indonesian Consul General to Johor Bahru, Taufikur Rizal, stated that the 9 workers work in manufacture sector in Johor Bahru region and they also study in the Open University of Johor Bahru. Indonesia and Russia are two countries that have long established relationship of cooperation. So far, the bilateral cooperation of both countries has been focused on defense and military sector. Indonesian delegation pays a visit to Moscow, Russia for 5 days as part of second threat of diplomacy to increase and strengthen cooperation in communication, informatics, and media field. So far, most Indonesian people have perceived Russia as a closed communist state and a stated and undeveloped country. In fact, Russia has been growing rapidly into one of the most democratic countries, and it has strong influence on various sectors of the world. This was affirmed by Henry Subiakto and his part of Minister of Communication and Informatics on the sidelines of the implementation of Indonesian update in Moscow, Russia on August 17, 2016. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to a traditional culinary of Kebumen Regency, namely Rujak Mengkudu. Stay tuned. It's a traditional food which usually made of various kinds of vegetables or fruits. The mixtures of vegetables or fruits are powering with flavoring sauce. The rujak fruits is usually powered with peanut sauce. However, rujak has various kinds and function in the society. In Japanese tradition, rujak is one of typical snack which is quite important in the daily menu. In several traditional ceremonies such as a baby shower, rujak, especially rujak fruits, is a must. Most of Japanese community believed when the pregnant woman eats rujak, if she feels spiciness, she will born a baby boy, and that's the contrary. Listener, if you're interested to rujak, it's not difficult to find this culinary in big cities in Indonesia. This culinary has various kinds of typical flavor in each region. If you are in Kebumen, Central Java, you will discover the sensation of the typical flavor of rujak, such as rujak mengkudu. Rujak mengkudu is a kind of rujak fruit. The ingredient of rujak is not widely used, such as mengkudu or noni, and pisang batu, a kind of banana. The rujak, which uses noni and pisang batu as basic ingredients, has already familiar in Gombang society since long time ago. Listener, in rujak mengkudu, pisang batu and noni are mixed with some other ingredients such as chili, terasi or seasoning that made from fish or shrimp, and fried peanuts. These ingredients is pounded with lumpang kayu or traditional tool used to measure the ingredient made of wood, and alu, a traditional tool for measure made of stone. After the ingredients are smooth enough, A lot of fruits such as guava, cucumber, papaya, jicama, mangga bacang or kind of mango, pineapple, star fruit, kedondong, and all of those are mixed with the sauce which already pounded. The use of the noni and pisang batu make a sensational taste. Noni and pisang batu also made the rujak juicy. Listener, besides the sensational taste, rujak mengkudu also has a lot of benefits. The noni is commonly known because it can lower high blood pressure and prevent cancer, whereas the pisang batu could prevent diarrhea. In Kebumen, rujak mengkudu is sold in a simple cart. The sellers sell this culinary at 11 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. The price is cheap enough. For a portion of rujak mengkudu, you can take it only for 8,000 rupiah. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring rujak mengkudu. Thank you for listening. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our daily segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about red and white flag hoisting on three world snowy peak mountains. There are so many ways to commemorate Indonesian Independence Day, such as by hoisting the red and white flag. Usually the ceremony will be done in the open field. Interestingly, at the 71st Indonesian Independence Day, there are three Indonesian climber groups that will conduct flag hoisting at three snowy peak mountains in the world. They were hoisting the Indonesian red and white flag separately on August 17, 2016. Three groups are the Natural Lover Students of Gajah Mada University, the Environment Guide Unit of General Sudirman University, and Vita 50. The Gajah Mada students will flag the red and white. The Gajah Mada students will hoisting the red and white flag in Stok Kangri Mountain in India, while the General Sudirman students will raise the flag at Waskaran Mountain in Peru and Vita 50 at the Elbrus Mountain in Russia. The Vita 50 group consists of 11 climbers who are mostly about 50 years old. The team, who are mostly members of Indonesian University nature lovers, begin to adjust their body condition with the mountain environment or acclimatizations on August 13, and they use the southern path to reach the Elbrus Mountain. Meanwhile, the Sudirman University students consist of three climbers. They named their action with 6 Sudirman Expedition. The climbing began on August 10 until 18, 2016. They started their journey from Huaraz to Musho, then they conducted acclimatizations process from base camp of Moraine until Camp 1.
On August 15 until 17, the team began to climb to Camp 2 and Southern Huascaran Summit. The team will be the first Indonesian climbers who reached the peak of Huascaran Mountain in Peru. On the other hand, the climbing activities to the Stok Kangri Mountain is holding by the students of Gajah Mada University, who name their action as the Peak of Ancestors. The mission of Gajah Mada students is to hoisting the Indonesian red and white flag on the Himalaya Peak Mountain, coincide with the Indonesian Independence Day. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany about the Indonesian flag hoisting in three world snowy mountain peaks. Thank you for listening, and we meet again with another interesting topics on the next edition of Miscellany. I'm Nukuk Sumawati.
Again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will present you to an Indonesian pop singer, Imaniar. Yet, before knowing her further, let's enjoy one song from her album entitled Hasratku. Enjoy the song.
Entah bagaimana
Imaniar, whose full name Imaniar Nur Said, was born in Jakarta on October 15, 1965. She is an Indonesian singer, a daughter of the great musician Said Kelana. Her consistency in R&B genre has well known in the music industry in the country in 90s era. Her talent was flown from her father, a musician who has Arabic, Italian and Madurese ancestry, while her mother, Hasnur, is a Minangkabau descent. Before she is known as a solo singer, Imaniar combined with her siblings in her family's band, The Big Kids. She also ever performed a duet with her sister, Lydia Nur Said. Imaniar's young brother, Iwang Nur Said, also has a career in music industry who focusing in jazz genre. Moreover, her other young brother, Inang Nur Said, was known as a drummer and also ever combined with jazzy band, namely Emerald Band. Listener, before knowing Imaniar further, let's enjoy another song of Imaniar entitled Kacau.
Kacau. Kacau. coba apa yang kau harapku. Aku tak mau putus cinta, apa lagi seolah.
Music that easy and interesting to be enjoyed, which was nicely and exclusively packed with Lydia's typical voice, produced nice albums. Unfortunately, only two albums which were produced by the two siblings, Imaniar and Lydia. Yet, Imaniar ever had a solo career by producing several albums entitled Hasratku and Kacau. The albums were sold almost 1 million copies. Listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen one of Imaniar's song, entitled Prahara Cinta. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Bila kau nanti bertemu dengan pujaan hatiku, tak heran bila kau akan simpati. Sederhana penampilan, namun sangat berkesan. Tak dapat dengan kata kulukiskan. Thank you. rindu gaya ceria dengan senda gurau-nya terlukis kedamaian dalam hati.
that sorrow hurt me, not like it's hurt me before. For once I've got someone.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.